That is right, guys. Welcome back to this month's installment of Super Reviews. This week, we're going to tackle a wacky walrus movie. But first off, I'm usually Dave. This is the digital soup production called Super Reviews that we do each and every month. And joining me, as always, is my good friends Adam and Jason. How are we doing tonight, guys?
Hey, doing good.
I'm doing fantabulous.
So we've got a crazy one, don't we?
This was insane.
In the membrane. since you chose this one, why don't you tell us a little more about it?
Sounds good. Well, what we've got, like I said, it's the Wacky Walrus movie, and I call it that because that's what the director and writer referred to it as when he came up with the idea. That's Mr. Kevin Smith, film director that we all love. Well, maybe not all of us, but he made a movie based on a story that him and his co-host ended up creating live on the podcast. It was a lot of fun, and it was really crazy that they just came up with this on the fly, and he turned this into a movie, and it's a bizarre movie called Tusk, and it's the first of what he was dubbing his Canada trilogy. He's made two of them. I don't know if that third one's going to get made, but the first one here, Tusk, is... It's a wild ride. I mean, it's definitely not a movie for everyone. And basically...
And before we get into it, let me just add the disclaimer. This is a spoiler-filled review, as all Super Reviews are.
This is very true. So to set up the main story, the movie came out 2014, rated R, of course. It's about an hour, 42 minutes long. We've got a very, very small cast in this movie. The main characters, you've got Michael Parks, who is fantastic. He's since passed away, playing the main villain as Howard Howe. Justin Long from the old Apple commercials, if you remember him, playing the one of the lead characters, Wallace Brighton, who will become the walrus. Genesis Rodriguez as Ali Leon, and Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense as Teddy Kraft. Now,
you know what? I did not know that that was who that was.
That is who that was. All grown up and playing a podcast co-host. So basically the premise behind this story is that a brash and arrogant podcaster gets more than he bargained for when he travels to Canada to interview a mysterious recluse who has a rather disturbing fondness for walruses. And so this movie opens right up with these guys recording their podcast. Doesn't it? No, it doesn't. What does it open with?
No, I'm saying that there's a lie in that.
What?
It's a complete lie. He did not travel to Canada to interview that recluse.
Well, this is true, yeah, with the podcast, and we'll get there, but he goes to interview this goofy kid that sent him a video and cut off his own leg. I mean, that part alone, I already, at that point, I was like, okay, this is going to be messed up. And I already, if you've listened to the episode, now we've got this linked in the show notes for you. It's episode 259 of Smodcast, which is Kevin Smith's podcast. And this is the episode where they basically generated this whole idea. And when you listen to it, if you listen to that previously, you already kind of knew where everything was going. And obviously he fleshed it out a little bit more and tightened things up and changed some things. But we knew this kid was going to end up in Canada. And while he's up there trying to interview this kid accidentally kills himself with his sword. So he's struggling last minute to find something interesting. And he finds a note in a bathroom of this bar that fascinates him. So he calls the guy and then drives 2 hours to get up there. But what did you guys think as far as the opening of this movie, where we're at in those initial scenes? I mean, where were you guys at headwise? I mean, I know I kind of knew what was going on going into this, but like we said, none of us have watched this. And so you guys are going into this completely blind.
Well, I didn't know this was even a horror movie.
Oh, you did?
So I didn't look up anything about it. I just saw Tusk. Okay.
He thought it was a documentary.
It's a Kevin Smith. I thought maybe it would be like a indie comedy style something. Yeah. Like. And there were some funny parts in it, that's for sure. And then, of course, I texted Dave with a what the... As soon as it turned, I'm like, oh, this went places I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
But that was... it's actually nice not having a clue what the movie was going to be about.
I know, and I was just saying that. I kind of wished I was where you were at. I mean, I hadn't seen the movie, but I knew it was going to happen because it was in all the previews.
Yeah, I didn't even look at any of the previews for this.
Well, no, I mean, I remembered when it first came out, the previews.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, the thing is, the film starts off, and it's very much a Kevin Smith movie. It's the whole thing is very dialogue-driven, which is Kevin Smith to the core. Mm-hmm. But it starts off with this witty banter and kind of crazy, you know, characters. The two main podcaster characters, you know, Wally and Teddy, Justin Long and Haley Joel Osment, They've got this great chemistry, and they're doing this podcast thing. The girlfriend's got, you know, really nice chemistry there, too, with Justin Long.
I know what you're saying.
Well, you know, the scene, I think we first see her in there in the middle of a explicit act, but you don't see any of the explicit stuff. It's just implied. It's off camera, but...
Mm-hmm.
But then it quickly turns. Like, he gets there and drives up, and it's this old creepy house way in the middle of nowhere, which I should say, that's after stopping at the gas station and having the interaction with the two teenage girls who will star in his next film in this sequel to this. Not a sequel, but Yoga Hosers, which was his daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter as well. Then he's off. He heads to further north. Where was it called? Like, Bifrost or something?
Yeah, yep. Something like that.
Which I thought that was funny.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of like going to be going into Game of Thrones a little bit there, Bifrost.
Well, Bifrost, isn't that the name of the bridge in Thor, like the from Heimdall when they travel from one plane in galaxy or whatever to one world to another? Isn't that the Bifrost?
Yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, and that's why I was like, okay, so he's throwing a nice nod to comic books here.
That's cool.
So.
Well, before we go any deeper into this, can I just, when I watched it, I remember texting Dave a little bit when I was watching it too, and one of my first things getting, I don't know, 20 minutes into it, all the way up to where he first meets this this recluse, this Howard Howe guy.
Yep.
Justin Long's character is a dick.
Yeah. he's really like...
He's not a likable guy, really.
No, I mean, he is that podcaster, though, that we... You can tune in or look on Twitter and pull up any number of podcasts where that's how they think they need to be. It's that shock jock, you know, Howard Stern kind of trying to emulate that and just be as raunchy and as inappropriate as you can. Well, I mean... What's the name of their podcast again? That'll give you a clue.
It's the Not, which is spelled NOTCSEE Party.
Yeah. The Not so they're like, Party.
It's the Not C Party.
And I do, there's one, sorry, Adam, but there is one aspect to this that I thought was hilarious. When, and we're going to get in this, but when he is missing, when Wallace is missing, and his girlfriend is calling the cops, you know, given a description, etc., and says he, you know, he's in, you know, his show, The Nazi Party. The cops, of course, hang up because and Haley Joel Osment is screaming, "Spell it, spell it,
yeah, spell it out, spell it out."
That was so. Yeah, I don't know where we want to take it yet here, but because we're not done kind of describing the overall plot, but
yeah, and really, what happens? I mean, in a nutshell, we can kind of talk. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, this kid goes up there, and we'll spoil it right now, he gets kidnapped, essentially, and then all kinds of craziness ensues until he's literally turned into a human walrus. But that journey...
Oh, that's not how I saw that at all. Weird.
That journey is a crazy one. Yeah. And I mean... I have a feeling for Adam. I know, you know, we haven't talked much about this, and I know you said you weren't a huge fan of this movie because just the type of movie it was. I have a feeling that the enjoyment for you ended around the time he's in that bar in Canada, if there was any enjoyment, where it's like, okay, where is this going? And once it takes that turn, I have a feeling for you it was like, holy, let me shut this
up. Right. So again, coming from my perspective, someone that had no idea what this movie was going to be about.
Right.
He's talking to this old guy. He's getting some cool stories. I'm like, oh, man, is he going to like find out some of these old guy's secrets or what's going to happen? And Justin Long's, of course, being just a prick. And
well, the whole what was the thing on the wall he wanted to touch?
Walrus. It was the bone.
Yeah, the bone. And he's like pretending to, you know, do
things to it. Yeah.
Things to it. Yeah.
Pleasure.
That was actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
But, so he gets knocked out and wakes up and, you know, I'm like, oh, what the heck happened? And then he pulls his blanket off and he's missing
his leg. A recluse spider. They're
dangerous.
And that's
where I'm like, what the heck is going on here? So, I'm like, this isn't a comedy, is it?
No, that wasn't even the biggest what the heck is going on here moment because when you see what's coming shortly after that, I mean, it's mind-blowing. Now, I want to take a second before we go. I won't say mind-blowing, but it's...
You're talking about when he becomes the walrus?
Yeah, it's weird, like just weird. Now, this is a movie. This isn't going to be for everyone. But if you If you are a fan of like those cheesy B-grade Hollywood movies, you're probably going to dig this one, but it's not for everyone. It's literally the closest thing you can get to a cinematic experiment.
So, of course, I'm going to share all my thoughts on this, but afterwards, there's a scene, and I'm skipping away to the end here. There's a scene in the credits where there's a part in the credits where they play part of the podcast where Kevin Smith is talking about basically the end of the movie. And so afterwards, I went and listened to that whole episode 259 of the Smodcast.
Right.
It made a whole lot more sense to me. These guys are just like making this up.
Yeah, on the fly.
And the intro to the actual movie had about basically the same style, like laughter that these guys were. Because Kevin Smith's Smodcast podcast is, they're laughing so hard. And they're,
yeah. It's just two friends cracking up.
They're making it so, their plot just keeps, they keep adding to the ridiculousness of it. And then they just went and did it.
Yeah,
and that's what's like, oh, okay, now it makes a little more sense.
And that's all, I had never seen this either, but I had listened to that episode, and I remember it was a huge impression on me, because as you're listening to that episode, and you know, listeners here, I do encourage you, go check out that episode of Smodcast if you haven't heard it already, because as you listen to them just kind of riffing off this thing, and they're joking and having fun and making stuff up on the fly, there's a point where you hear this switch flip in Kevin Smith's head. And you can just hear the way he's talking about it, and you can hear the wheels turning, and it's like he suddenly went from, this is a funny joke conversation, like, wouldn't this be crazy, you know, just those normal things you do with your friends, to, hey, this could be fun, you know, I might be able to make something out of this, you know. And he didn't go into it expecting to make an Oscar-worthy movie, of course.
Didn't get an Oscar?
No, but he literally just did this because he had the idea and just had to make it, you know, because no one else was going to do something like this. But, you know,
now,
go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, speaking more, getting into more of the scenes of the movie.
Yeah.
Now, the whole part when he first gets to the house.
Right.
Now, this house is off the beaten path. He park his car. He takes like a little jaunt up to this this big old grand house that's in the middle of nowhere.
He actually had to get out, open the gate, and then drive what seemed like another mile up to the house, and then get out and hike. Yeah.
And you know, and this house is decorated. I mean, this is how do you explain this? This is definitely like an old, sort of like a Scooby-Doo house. You know,
right.
The old house is the way
macabre. It's the word you're looking for.
Yeah.
And the whole interaction between Wallace and Howard, you know, and we didn't even mention some of this, but Howard is in a wheelchair. From what Wallace knows, Howard cannot walk. And that's one of the big revelations later in the movie. But just the way Howard Howe talks, how he tells these stories, it's like an old man just reliving, you know, some of the things. But the way he speaks is a little bit different.
Good actor, though.
Yeah. Oh, everything was good. And, of course, Wallace would say like some off-the-wall, arrogant type asshole-y thing, if I can use that word.
Well, and he's, you know, because Howard Howe is talking about right away, one of the first stories he tells him is about how, you know, he says an Ernest Hemingway quote, and the kid Wallace is like, oh, Hemingway said that. And he's like, yeah, he did. He said it to me. And you find out this guy has lived a life. And that actor, Michael Parks, he was also in Kevin Smith's movie called Red State. And he was a very accomplished actor, but he is just a master at this type of character where there is like really his every scene he's in is basically a giant monologue, even when there's interaction, and he just draws you in. He's one of those people that is a natural storyteller. And from what I remember hearing, Kevin Smith knew when he wrote this movie, he wrote that part for Michael Parks because he knew that he'd worked with him before and he loved him as an actor, and he knew that he was the guy to pull off this craziness.
Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I loved that whole, because I knew it was coming. You know, most of us did know, except Adam for some reason lives under a rock. But we knew what was going to happen. So the whole time that they're having this conversation, and by the way, Wallace is drinking some of the most fantastic tea he's ever had in his life.
Right.
And the whole time he's drinking this most fantastic tea, Jason knew there's something in the tea.
Right.
Well, yeah.
And we do get, you know, as the story's going, as he, you know, as Howard's telling the story and Justin's coming in every once in a while, you do kind of see the sleepiness come over Justin.
Right.
And then he does let out some yawns, and then they do get to the point where they're showing his blurred vision and stuff, and then he makes the realization, what did you put in this?
Yeah.
And then he just like an awesome fall to the ground. Yeah, I thought, boom, out of the chair.
And right, Michael Parks as Howard Howe during that whole time is still telling him this story about this walrus, that he was stranded on an island with this walrus, and never misses a beat. The kid falls to the floor and he's like, there, you'll be all right. You know, just like eerie, just creepy, perfect. Okay. Yeah. For it.
So now that we're, you know, we've basically covered a lot of what this movie is, and we hit the point where, you know, you first see his legs gone, I want to mention one more thing before we jump into the big tusk battle at the end. But talking about disturbing, and I want to see what Adam's view of this was, because he did not like seeing that leg gone. What did you think about the part where he has Wallace laid out on that table, and now you see both legs are gone, the arms are getting sewed up in some weird positions? That was pretty disturbing right there, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was. Actually, what I found more disturbing were these detailed, like, old-looking drawings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
all how over. To turn somebody into a walrus. Like, where'd you get those? He's make them?
Yeah, he's been building them for years.
My biggest problem with this wasn't necessarily that, okay, this guy's obviously a psychopath, et cetera, et cetera. It was, there's no way that Justin Long would have survived such an, the human body can't handle that type of trauma. No. And all the things that went through, and then continue surviving, which by the time it gets to the end of the movie, he comes out there, they throw him a freaking fish.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's like, what?
And that's the thing.
He eats it, though. That
he does. Well, that's the goal. Michael Parks, or Howard Howe, I keep calling him by his real name, but Howard, the crazy man, his whole goal is and you find out he's done this many times before, and no one has survived it. And he wants to get a person to not only survive the procedure of being turned into a walrus, but he wants them to be able to go full walrus, is what he says. And this is a phrase that they use in the podcast. You can hear in the credits, going full walrus. And it's used in the movie. And his idea is that, you know, they're going to get to this battle. And, you know, Howard comes in dressed as he's got his own walrus suit. It's like a big rubber suit with tusks on it. And he's forcing this kid, you know, Justin Long, Wallace's character, to either fight him and kill him or get killed. And Howard wants to be able to get a person to go full walrus so they lose all sense of humanity. Mm-hmm. And they basically, he's trying to replace this walrus friend he had, you know, years ago on this stranded island, that he ended up killing hours before he got rescued.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. We need to actually hit that before we do the battle, because like Dave just said, the whole point of him turning this guy into this walrus is because he's lived a long life, but it seems like the happiest time in his life was when he got stranded on this island and the only other thing on the island was his walrus that he befriended.
Yep.
And they were close friends, I guess, and as friendly as you can get with the walrus. And like Dave said, it came to the point to where they were out of food and he had to kill his friend to eat him.
Yep.
He killed the walrus so he could eat him. Now, this was his good friend on this island, and I think that messed him up a little bit too. Yeah. But being stranded on the island messed him up.
He says that it's the best friend he's ever had,
and he wants to recreate that now that he's an old man, doesn't have too much time left.
Yep.
You know, he has nobody in his life currently. He wants to recreate that best friend he had, and then he specifically does say, I don't know the exact words, but I'm going to paraphrase it here, is he did not give, you know, his best friend the walrus a chance on the island, but he wants to see if, you know, if Wallace Walrus can, you know, take him, you know, you know, fight for, you know, his friend, you know, Tusk Walrus guy, whatever. Right. But, you know, if he could, you know, maybe redeem what he did by letting, you know, him kill him then.
Right. And I think that at its core, which is kind of, you know, it's weird because this whole movie is so bizarre and so out there with this monster and everything else. But when you really look at this movie, because if you're paying attention to the dialogue and you're really, you know, kind of getting into that side of it and letting the actual monster that he creates, you know, which we'll talk, I want to talk about that real quick with the monster in a second, but when you get past the visual stuff you're seeing, which is crazy and just out there and, you know, and bizarre, this whole movie is not about, you know, him killing these people. It is really a drama where this old man regrets killing his best friend and feels like he wants to create the best, you know, approximation of that best friend he had in that walrus and give him a chance to fight for himself. Which is really strange. Like, this whole movie isn't.
That's all we ask. Just give us a chance. If we have to become a walrus, let us have a chance.
I started kind of going, huh, during the scene where he's like, you know, so what's the Michael Parks?
Yep.
Phenomenal actor. After seeing this, I'm sold. But he's like, is man indeed a walrus at heart? I'm like, right. Is that an actual saying something?
I don't think so. I think this is just his
like, oh, where's this going?
Twisted mind.
What are some other things that you guys didn't like about the movie? I'll give you one example of that relationship between like the girlfriend and Haley Joel Osment's character. I don't know what that added to the story. You know, I kind of looked at that like, okay.
I don't think it really added anything to the story, but it just showed the dickishness of Justin Long's character. Yep. Because,
yeah,
well, you got to say it, because he treated her like crap a lot of the time that you saw.
Yep.
He put the podcast, you know, and his friends and stuff ahead of her. He cheats on her.
With his podcast she doesn't, groupies.
Yeah, which she doesn't know,
yeah,
but
are those a thing?
Haley knows. And, you know, Allie, you know, as Haley has said and as Justin agrees, she's a beautiful woman, but he still cheats on her all the time.
All the time. Yeah, I think, and here, let me ask you guys this. Do you think their relationship was anything more than just, like, best friends?
Oh, I don't think so. You're talking about Teddy and Allie?
Teddy and Allie, yeah.
Yeah,
well, they're totally sleeping together in that scene.
Yeah, but look at when they wake up originally.
No. I don't think there's a sexual like relationship, like feelings like that there, cuz if you look when she delivers that, I mean she's an excellent actress as well, Genesis Rodriguez. She delivers that one scene where she's crying.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean that's good. Just this straight down the barrel of the camera, you know, one take, just did it. And when you see after that, when after Teddy stays a night and they wake up the next morning and get the messages, if you see how he wakes up, he's laying on his stomach with his head at the bottom of the bed. So his feet are up by her head and she's got, you know, she's laying on her pillow like normal. I don't think there's anything physical there.
You know, possibly, but how many female friends have you laid in bed with that slept in just panties and a baby tee?
Well, she also said that's why we're doing this to him, and she said, you bring me back, you make me feel beautiful again and cherished and all this stuff.
Well, but look at how it is
referenced. And then he, like, caresses her face. Why would they be in the same bed and sleeping together?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure on that. It's a little vague to me, to be honest, because if you look at the other conversation, it's done through a series of flashbacks where you see Teddy, you know, questioning Wally, like, how could you do this, man? You're such a pig, you know, whatever. He's judging him. You know, she's so amazing and everything else. And I think Teddy wants something with her. I think
I think at that point, it wasn't. But I think with him being gone, I think that's when they did get together. I think at that point, because they hadn't heard from him in a long time.
Oh, it was a matter of a couple days.
Well,
that he was gone,
but you know, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
And right before, if you remember, on the when they do their episode, right before they talk about how Teddy is taking her to the Guggenheim or whatever it was, an art museum, while he's up in Canada going to interview this kid, and he's always doing stuff like this, and you know, hanging out with her while he's gone to, you know, keep her company and whatever. I really don't think it was a situation where it's like, you know, he's cheating on her all the time, but she doesn't know it. But it doesn't matter because she's sleeping with his co-host. I think the co-host, Teddy, likes her. He'd like to have that relationship, but it's not there. And I think that's really what's going on at the core of that, is that, you know, he's just like a best friend, like a brother, basically, that's just there when she's having a tough time, just like calling over her girlfriend instead, mm-hmm. you know. And it's it's an interesting dynamic for sure.
But my question is, why are we talking about a relationship here when we have a walrus battle we have to cover right now?
Right.
Well, so let's jump to that walrus battle. What were your impressions of that, Dave?
I thought the battle itself was kind of, it wasn't much of a battle. It was like butting shoulders. Although he was cutting him, you could see Wally getting, you know, he was bleeding a little bit. But by that point, you know, Howard was really just taunting him, and he was pushing him to say, "Do it," you know, the real traditional, like, "You either kill me or I'm going to kill you. It's going to be one or the other, blah, blah, blah," you know, that kind of a thing.
Well, here's my question. I'm going to throw this over to Adam real fast here. Why? Okay, he wanted to battle the walrus. Now, he has made Wallace, so there's absolutely nothing Wallace can do but, you know, attack with his tusks. Yep. That's it. Right. He has no other thing. So why do you think that Howard then, towards the end of the battle, decided, all right, I'm going to stand up, take off my tusk outfit, I'm going to grab this big knife, and I'm going to kill you?
Because, go ahead, Adam.
Why would he not pull out a knife?
No, why did he? Why did he not full-on battle him to the death as a walrus? Why did he all of a sudden, okay, now I'm a man with a knife, let's go.
I think he was psychotic, and I think he wanted to see if he could even give him a chance, because obviously limited range of motion, and I don't know. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
I honestly think what it was is that he was pushing him walrus to walrus, so to speak, trying to get him to fight, and he saw that Justin Long's character, you know, Wallace, was not, he was there and he was doing it, but he didn't want this. He didn't want a battle, and he was still holding on to being himself. And him standing up and grabbing that knife was Howard's way of basically saying, well, we tried it that way. I'm going to push you to go full walrus if I can.
Oh, and he didn't he?
Yeah, you better do it now, because if you don't, I am going to stab you. And, you know, he wanted to push him to that point of mentally breaking him and see if he would actually go through with it, or if he would just let himself get killed, basically.
And he didn't.
No. Well, and let's talk about real quick the design of this walrus costume. He brought in a real big name special effects guy, and he's a friend of his, and they did it as a favor just for fun. But I thought it was interesting that I kind of thought, I don't know why, but I thought that we wouldn't see the monster, you know, the walrus fully transformed until right at the end of the movie. I thought they were going to keep that kind of under wraps, you know, so we don't really see it till the end. But they were, I mean, you see the scene with the leg gone, you see the next scene, he's chopping him up on a table and there's blood everywhere, and boom, they show you this monster, and he is horrific. I mean, his ears are like on his back and weird stuff. I mean, it's so just gross. I mean, bizarre.
He even put whiskers on him around the tusk, and he's drooling, and he cut his tongue out, so of course he's just making these noises and stuff.
Well, and we get the detective. We should mention there is a detective that's been chasing this guy, Michael Parks, for years.
I call him Crazy Eyes.
Yeah, Crazy Eyes, a detective named Guy Lapointe, and he is in the credits listed as Guy Lapointe. You don't even see his name in the credits, but...
Oh, please don't tell me Guy Lapointe is what you teased at the beginning.
Guy Lapointe was played by Johnny Depp.
Oh my God, I did not even freaking recognize him.
That is awesome.
I got to tell the listeners here. Now, Dave just let it slip that, man, Johnny Depp's character was what? And I'm like, what? Johnny Depp was in this movie?
Yep.
It's like, oh, I got to save it for the show. And I would have never guessed that was Johnny Depp.
Yeah, and he's crazy, and you see some flashbacks, and, you know, with him actually meeting this killer, but he is loony bins, but he's right on point. For lack of a better term, I hate to say that after his name is Lapointe, but...
Now, let's hit the end here, because I need to ask both of you, but I'm going to go to Adam first here, because, Dave, you talk so much.
I know.
Yeah, this is getting a little long in the tooth, guys.
Adam. Yeah. Okay. Is it just me, or if all of a sudden, you know, the police and your friends and stuff rescue you from this crazy madman, which you just killed, by the way, but they rescue you and you have been turned into a walrus.
Yeah.
Would your friends put you in a habitat, or would they take you to some type of surgeon to see what they could do?
Yeah, I think emergency services, you'd get pulled out. You got one guy who's sort of law enforcement, even though he's cross-eyed and smashes his hamburgers like a crazy person.
Yeah, what the heck was that?
It was the Gimli slider.
The Gimli sliders. So, yeah, my thought was, oh my gosh, because this guy's not going to last long. This is a traumatizing, like, full mutation procedure. But I mean, get him out of the weird. That whole suit isn't all attached to all his bones and stuff, is it? I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of the tone is that it's supposed to be. Yeah, I mean, him.
It's like,
but today's society would not make this person live the rest of his life as a walrus in a habitat.
Well, he seems walrusy right now. We better leave him this way.
Well, and look at that, because right after he kills Howard. They show up, his girlfriend Allie and Teddy, they see the monster he is. She's sobbing. Gila Point comes in with his gun, his rifle, and he takes aim, and Justin Long Wallace is jumping up and down. He's saying, do it, kill me. He doesn't want to live. And the screen goes black, and I thought they were going to end it right there, and I'm like, oh, boy.
I thought I was going to hear his gunshot. You're right. Yep.
And I thought, did they just shoot him and put him out of his misery or what? And you find out, no, he apparently, and when you listen to that, the credit scene, you know, that Adam referenced earlier, you hear that basically they try to get him medical help, and the idea is that, and they don't really explain this in the movie, but the idea that is he is just too far messed up to be able to do anything mentally and physically. And so, yeah, they put him in this animal sanctuary and they go to visit him. Did it say it was like a year later? Yeah.
Yeah. They brought the beach ball.
With the beach ball.
Well, not only that, but you know, that big gulp cup he had from the gas station in the beginning of the movie, it's still laying in the sanctuary, like crushed, like he's been there, but they kept it there. Like it's his favorite toy or something. So sad.
All right, guys. So I'd like to hear what your scores are for Tusk.
All right. Well, my score for this, now I enjoyed the movie. No, it wasn't Oscar worthy in the least.
No.
But it was an entertaining movie. I did enjoy it. So I am going to give it a 3.5.
Okay.
Out of 5 stars.
Adam.
Dave.
You want to go or you want me to go?
Dave, Adam. Adam, Dave.
Okay,
you guys
I'll
met each
That's
other
fine.
Before?
I'm going to give this a 2. I'm going to give this a 2.5.
Yeah,
I didn't quite enjoy it as much just because a lot of the, I don't know, it took me out of the movie. I'm like, how is he still alive? And then I started getting picky, and I shouldn't. I mean, it's a,
this from the guy that watches The Walking Dead. Now, how is this Waller still alive?
Well, so the dialogue was really good. It's, you know, Kevin Smith dialogue is pretty stellar, and I respect the filmmaker, but of course, you know, like I said, you listen to their podcast and everything on this, and even they're laughing at how stupid this is.
Oh yeah,
and they go and make it. So yep. I kind of agree with her.
Yeah,
2.5. Yeah,
2.5, and I'm gonna go, and I'm actually gonna give this a 4.5.
Wow,
and I might
highest rated movie of everything.
It might be, and I wanna kind of clarify that I don't think I'm giving it a 4.5, and it's not that I think it's better than the other movies we've seen, but there are things about it, because I really love, and I miss the days when we'd see some of these just, you know, silly B-grade, you know, late night movies, and that's what this was. And as a fan of the podcast, you know, Smodcast with Kevin Smith, I love his movies. I love the dialogue and the acting in this. I love the fact that in the acting credits there is literally only like 13 people, and there's out of that there's like 3 or 4 extras. Yep.
Oh, the
this thing is, yeah. And as a person who, you know, with the photography side of me, the music, you know, a creative person, the whole concept that this movie sprang out of for me of the idea of someone who just has this wacky idea, they're not expecting it to be a world beater. It's not expected to be a blockbuster. It's just an idea he had to make. He just wanted to make it. He did it, put it out there, was proud of what he put together, as silly as it is. And he acknowledged it's not going to be for everybody. But as crazy as this idea is, just he just did it. And it's in a lot of ways on that side of it's very inspiring to me. And as a movie itself, I mean, classic cheeseball B-grade horror movie with the great Kevin Smith's dialogue all throughout it. I mean, like I say, the whole movie, as great as it is, it's really not even about this whole monster, the walrus. It is, but it's more about the dialogue and the story that's being told. And so for that reason, I'm giving it a 4.5.
All right. So that gives us a total of 3 stars out of 5. Serving it up.
Just so, barely.
So, well, 3.5, I mean, if you want to get technical about where it went. So not just barely. It's over the hump there. So, yeah, check it out. If you haven't, I don't know why you would have listened to this show, but we just want to ask the hard questions. Like, is man indeed a walrus?
Right.
So, guys, so. If you want to find out more about the Digital Soup Podcast, what we're going to do is pass it back over to Dave.
We have to find out what we're watching next time.
Oh, man.
Nothing, I guess. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, I took us down this crazy path of Tusk, so we're throwing it back. Yeah. Jason Picks, what do you have for us?
All right. Now, this I have seen this movie, and when I was going through the list of movies that I thought I'd like to have you guys watch, this one popped up, and I'm like, yeah, I really enjoyed this movie. It was different. I really liked it, and I'm hoping neither of you have seen it. It's a little movie that came out in 2015. Stars basically nobody I really knew except Tim Roth, which from Quentin Tarantino fame. He's been in a lot of Tarantino movies.
Incredible Hulk?
No, it is not. Oh, I forgot he was a Hulk too. But it's a little movie called Hardcore Henry.
Ooh, have either of you?
I have not seen that either.
All right, get ready for a wild ride because this movie is pretty amazing.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and quickly read what the synopsis is, so you kind of know what it is real fast. Henry, a newly resurrected cyborg who must save his wife creator from the clutches of a psychotic tyrant with telekinetic powers and his army of mercenaries. Fighting alongside Henry is Jimmy, who is Henry's only hope to make it through the day. Hardcore Henry takes place over the course of one day in Moscow, Russia.
Wow.
And this movie is, you know, the reason why, don't even watch a trailer, guys. Seriously.
Nope.
Don't watch any trailers for this. I want you to go into this just knowing that. But I did see the trailers, and that's what made me watch it. And I enjoyed it. But I want you guys to be totally stoked.
And this was called what? Hardcore Henry?
Hardcore Henry.
Perfect. That sounds like a lot of fun.
All right. It so listeners, fun. I mean, hey, watch that in advance. And then when you listen to our next show next month when we do Super Reviews, you'll be able to follow along.
That's right.
Fantastic.
Play along, guys, at home.
Yeah, and for the home watcher. DigitalSoupPodcast.com is where you can find all of our stuff, all of our episodes. You can listen there. You can subscribe. You can find us anywhere where you listen to podcasts, even Spotify now. We also have links to all of our social media. We'd love it if you would come say hi. Tell us what you thought of Tusk. And be sure to leave us a review and subscribe and tell a friend. DigitalSoupPodcast.com. So we appreciate it. And from all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast with Super Reviews, to all of you listeners out there, we'll catch you next time. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Later, gonna turn you into a walrus gator. That was a courtesy laugh, I know.